Firstly, if both vibrate in green ray, there will be a mutually strengthening energy transfer, the negative or female, as you call it, drawing the energy from the roots of the beingness through the energy centers, thus being physically revitalized, the positive, or male polarity, as it is deemed in your illusion, finding in its energy transfer an inspiration which satisfies and feeds the spirit portion of the body/mind/spirit complex, thus both being polarized and releasing the excess of that which each has in abundance by nature of intelligent energy, that is, negative, intuitive, positive, physical energies, as you may call them, this energy transfer being blocked only if one or both entities have fear of possession or of being possessed, of desiring possession or desiring being possessed. The other green ray possibility is that of one entity offering green ray energy, the other not offering energy of the universal love energy, this resulting in a blockage of energy for the one not green ray, thus increasing frustration or appetite, the green ray being polarizing slightly towards service to others. The blue ray energy transfer is somewhat rare among your people at this time but is of great aid due to energy transfers involved in becoming able to express the self without reservation or fear. 21 The search for a sexual mate who can share love from an open heart is most wisely undertaken, not in an aggressive and needy way, but in the sense of valuing such energy when it comes our way, and appreciating the great gift bestowed upon us, both in the love received and in the chance to love in return. In such energy exchanges between loving people, the heart is filled with joy, peace and power, and if blue ray is penetrated, much aid in clear communication is given. All such exchanges are most healthful and healing. However, the sturdy glory of the sexual potential is sacramental or indigo ray sex. The indigo ray transfer is extremely rare among your people. This is the sacramental portion of the body complex whereby contact may be made through violet ray with intelligent infinity. 22, 274, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. Ra, one whose indigo ray vibrations have been elevated, can offer the energy transfer of creator to creator. This is the beginning of the sacramental nature of what you call your bisexual reproduction. It is unique in bearing the allness, the wholeness, the unity in its offering to other self. Questioner, what is the difference between violet ray and the others? Ra, I am Ra. The violet ray, just as the red ray, is constant in the sexual experience. Its experience by other self may be distorted or completely ignored or not apprehended by other self. However, the violet ray, being the sum and substance of the mind/body/spirit complex, surrounds and informs any ion by a mind/body/spirit complex. 23 So violet ray, while necessary to sacramental sex, since it is the gateway to intelligent infinity, is not, in itself, a chakra dialy live in sexual energy exchanges. The sexual energy exchange between the mated pair is one of the most powerful means of advancing the spiritual journey that is known to your peoples. For as each seeker is able to clear each ascending center or chakra of energy, there is therein released the energy that has been holding the consciousness in a certain place, and this freed energy then can allow each seeker to move the level and quality of perceptions higher and higher within the centers of energy until each is able, either individually or together, to move into the brow center, the indigo ray as we have heard it described by this group, and is able to experience the one creator in full and without distortion. 24 In the white ceremonial magical tradition of the West, sacramental sex has sometimes been called high magic. While I in no way recommend any form of sexual union, whether Western or Eastern in discipline, that is calculated for if rather than as a way to share and uplift love, and while I would eschew any sort of black sexual levity, involving sadism and masochism in their hurtful, as opposed to playful, form, I can attest to the beauty of this high magic. The heart of white magic is the experience of the joy of union with the Creator. This joy will of necessity radiate throughout the life experience of the positive adept. It is for this reason that sexual magic is not restricted solely to the negatively oriented polarizing adepts, but when most carefully used has its place in high magic as it, when coolly pursued, joins body, mind and spirit with the one infinite creator. 25, 275, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. This pursuit is not out of the reach of any who finds a good partner. It may be the work of many years to find the springs of love and trust opening in the relationship to the point where such advances are possible. But the work is not arduous, and the results are truly astonishing when one begins to reach these higher energies. We ask each to see working on sexuality as a holy occupation and part of a holy life. Let it be wonderful and fun. Free the self to rejoice in the beauty of this energy. This is a long process sometimes, however, there is much pleasure in the work. 26 Yes, there is, and I am most grateful for the passion I have shared in my life. It has been of inestimable benefit. I feel that the nature of sex is play, a divine play that is as rich as the people doing it and the spontaneity of the moment. Treat each time like a new experience, a first time, for it is indeed a first time. And when we have begun to play the old and dear tunes of the body, focus on that note the pleasure sings in the lyrical flow and light of it through our body and cooing in its bright loop through our partners and round again. There is a metaphysical tone and flow of energy that is destined for each experience, and the moving into the sacramental is done through, first, the dedication of the entire to the infinite creator, and the dedication of the pleasure of the you as well, and secondly, the intensity of focus given to the flow of pleasure in the present moment. Give the self completely to and in this most hallowed joining, for it is divine. Relationships, we are a social species. Regardless of our planet of origin, this third density experience, and all the experiences that follow, especially for service to other seekers, are increasingly social and driven by relationships. Primitive cultures are clear examples of the tribal nature of our very beings. In those societies, the idea of people living alone and not socializing is largely absent. Even in our sophisticated times, with people often living very isolated lives, we are dependent on a complex system of production and delivery of all kinds of goods and services that enable us to pretend we do not need anyone else. In a way, it was easy to see the value of relationships clearly in pioneer times, when each day held a long list of things to do just to survive. If a mother wished to give her family new shirts, for instance, she would spin the thread, weave the thread into cloth, cut the cloth into the shirt patterns and sew the pieces together into shirts with more of her thread. If she wished to give her family baths, she had to save ashes and create soap as. 276, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. Well, as carry wood and water and heat the water for the baths. To put food on the table, a father would go out and bag game, and grow vegetables and herbs for his larder. The children were given just as much as they could handle, as early as they could do it, for even the small toddler can fetch and carry things, and as children grew older, they would enter into all the chores, weeding, being cook's helper, watching smaller children. The parents taught the children how to survive in each facet of living. Everyone in the family could see the value of this process. Nowadays, we simply purchase what we need with money made from our hard work, usually at a job at someone else's company, although a significant number of us are in business for ourselves, with varying degrees of financial success, and a happy few of us are independent of serious money concerns. Within a family, the wife may not have time to cook, sew or clean, and the husband may well be too busy even to mow the lawn himself. That traditional guy thing, much less far more otherwise, tends to physical needs the family or home might have. There is no motive or momentum to teach the children survival skills, with the exception of money earning skills, which are pursued by parents for their children as they encourage them to make it through schools, colleges and trade schools. What we are taught is that we must make our own way, and that education and hard work will help us most. The physical, elemental necessity for relationships is no longer lucidly evident in the fabric of our lives. In a powerful way, we suffer for this. For as Caroline Miss says in her interesting book, Anatomy of the Spirit 27, we are a tribal species at the very root of our being, and we find a fundamental security in the feeling of belonging in our tribe, our community of the friends and family that make up our small and immediate world, our village, our state and nation. Further, as we interact with these, our most intimate companions and our larger tribes, we find great catalyst for learning and opportunities for service. Relationships are the essence of being human. The essence of third density learn, teaching and teach, learning is that there are other selves to which one must relate in choosing the manner of that relationship with others. The choice of polarity becomes first recognized and then made. The third density physical vehicle was designed to function only in what you may call the family. By oneself one cannot reproduce and create new life. Without other selves working in cooperation, your own self will be unable to create a meeting of all. 277, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships Needs. The essence of what you may call human is an absolute need for relationships with other selves. 28 Part of the reason we came into incarnation as a biological male or female was to set us up for certain important relationships that we planned together before either person came into incarnation. In broad strokes, then, it may be seen that entities which wish to learn the lessons of unselfish service through labor away from the family are drawn to the male sexuality. Those wishing to work in relationships and to learn the lessons of unselfish loving and serving through presence, in the home, may well choose the feminine gender. However, at a more goal-oriented level, these goals having to do with what you may call karma, male or female gender may well be chosen regardless of the implications of any sexual bias in order to set up the appropriate relationship wherein lies the work of the incarnation. Thusly, if one with whom you have a tie which is karmic has the need to establish the sexuality as male, then in order to come into a desired mated relationship, for instance, you would choose the female gender in order to arrange the niceties of convention so that it would be possible to choose during the incarnation to take on this relationship. Within this relationship, you, as a woman, might be needing to work in what seems to be a more masculine series of lessons of responsibility and provision. However, the sexuality would have been chosen only in order to set the stage for the work in relationship. 29 In addition, we often choose other relationships that have nothing to do with gender. Your entire makeup as a physical, mental, emotional and spiritual being in this environment calls you to be with each other. It is obvious that, physically speaking, the male and female call to each other to perpetuate the species. And this indeed is the beginning of many, many relationships. Yet there are others that have just as much use with companions, friends, teachers. 30 If we are fortunate and honor the relationships that we do have, we may find that as we change and evolve, our relationships do too. If we are careless with people, or unlucky, we might find that a bond becomes tenuous when we change. I am familiar with more than one individual whose marriage fell apart or friendship dissolved as a result of changes. In reality, these relationships were probably already in trouble to some degree and this only. 278, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships served to accelerate the outcome. I am also aware of the positive impact that these changes have produced in my own relationships with others. 31 So much of how we respond to these changes is a matter of our chosen attitude. When people find relationships going sour, the heart of the trouble is some kind of fear. You asked what do entities fear when they are working on relationships, and perhaps we would say that the greatest fear is the loss of love or trust and the betrayal of security in whatever distorted way that security is felt by the self and by the other self. Many issues have their heart in this emotional security. The surface of an issue may be money, or health, or where to live. It may be almost anything in which two people have a different view, but whatever the seeming issue, there is a deeper issue, a singular issue involved, and that is not necessarily a doing issue but a being issue. 32 Relationships feel risky. Many times, they are indeed a challenge. It is no wonder that we quail at times. When we fear for our security, we are bound to be uncomfortable. I fear another relationship. I never thought that this was the case. I just said that I wasn't ready right now. The more I thought about it, the more I thought that it was time to try again. Then I found that I would come up with the most ridiculous reasons not to. I had a friend tell me in not so nice a way what was going on. I thought about what this person said, and found that this was indeed true. I am scared. So I have been looking at this for a while, yeah, another stalled Ike, to find why I rear the way I do. I'm still not real sure. I know it has a lot to do with my divorce, but as to the exact reasons for the fears arising, I am still unclear. One thing I came up with was to just go ahead and start to date again. I'm sure that this would bring all that scares me to the surface for my viewing. But that doesn't really seem fair to the other person. But boy, what a catalyst to learning that would be. 33. I note that Mike has since gone on to fall in love again and marry, and is presently engaged in the tag team experience of a paterfamilias with two sets of children, his and hers, to raise. He has definitely continued to find catalyst in relationships. He remains in love with his mate, I am glad to say. His bride just wrote me to say that, whatever their problems, they as a couple are doing fine. We are all imperfect, flawed beings. From the Stand, 279, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. Point of our outer behavior on Earth today. Relationships usually are to bring each flaw lovingly to the surface, as one wanderer notes. I know I am intelligent, sensitive, talented in many ways. But I have what seems like a horrible flaw. Most people never see it, or only get tiny glimpses. My family knows my moody streak and accepts me as I am. I have always co-ed this emotional imbalance with my creative urges and linked it to being an artist. This may be true, but sometimes it sounds like a convenient excuse. I am fully aware of the degree to which I am being tested in this area. It is something that's been with me all my life and shows no sign of going away. My relationship with my partner is now the primary catalyst. We are in many ways like polar opposites, and coping with those differences is at times more than I can deal with. That's when I lose it. 34. When we lose our tempers and our poise, we set up what seem to be, sometimes, intransigent disharmonies we cannot abide. And yet we also discover ourselves at ever deeper levels from this riffling effect of seeing another respond to us. In service to others, let each be stern with the self, and full of infinite love and advocacy for each other. You have your own lessons to learn, and only out of those lessons do you have what you may give in love and harmony to the group. Take those lessons seriously, and in your personal relationships, make full use of the mirroring if. Listen to each other honestly, but as you come together in love and light, do not seek to be understood as such and such, but seek only to understand the beauty of each other. Dwell in praise and thanksgiving to the one infinite creator. Rejoice in the harmony that your blind faith has given you with each other. You are not harmonious together, no people are harmonious together unless they give up that which is ego, and cease to judge. 35. Our artistic 131, talking about her rocky relationship with her boyfriend's sister, gives a good example of this riffling process. Sometimes I look at the situation and think something about her and how I perceived the way she is dealing with this situation, and then I stop and realize that that is exactly what I am doing myself. At that point I realize that what I am seeing is a reflection of myself. It is a very helpful tool, if a person can see it, and I admit, I can't always. I guess what is not always clear is the degree to which I view things as a reflection of myself versus a dual perception about another person. 36, 280, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. A good relationship, meaning a relationship where both people are willing to work on communication and trust, is worth its weight in gold to the people involved, because the interaction helps them to learn about and to balance themselves. There is an inner opening to infinity, and patience is the doorkeeper. Difficult experiences of the mundane type, whether they be relationships or situations, are designed to place the pilgrim in the puff place for the experience it needs to overcome deep biases which are unbalanced in the personality. To be impatient with the world because it has made you sad or angry or defeated is to be impatient with yourself, and by this time the seeker has already decided that if the self is unworthy, that is certainly too bad, for the self is here and the self must seek to be the best and the highest that it can be. Each self is puff in some way at some level. This is acknowledged at some point by the seeker. The paradox betwixt the puff and the blatantly imperf self is accepted, that it does not matter that there is a paradox, but that one must still seek and not be at war with the self. 37 Acceptance of the self as is and of the other self as is are equally difficult when relationships get thorny, and they all do if they go on long enough. At least, mine have always been up and down a bit. Even with the most blissfully supportive friendships with my best girlfriends, there has occasionally been a misunderstanding which temporarily seemed to derail the relationship, and only after good, careful, loving work with each other has the fear been allayed on both sides, and the relationship mended. I just had a wonderful visit with a high school friend. Our companionship has lasted 40 years now. She came to visit over Easter weekend, and we spent long and satisfying hours talking, being together in silence, and sharing our experiences over the past year since we have seen each other. About 10 years ago, at a very tough time for both of us, I felt she had abandoned me, and I was rude in expressing this to her. She became afraid of my anger and for several years, we struggled, successfully, I am most glad to say, to restore the trust between us. We are closer than ever before. We have each other's measure as imperf beings, and have accepted each other, perceived faults and all. When we are in relationship and being real with each other, we simply cannot be puff people. We pick the people we have in our lives to get into trouble with, to do work with, to evolve with. You are old, old souls and you have given yourself your own choices of those relationships and environments which you feel will give you the most opportunity for learning. This is done by the frame of difficulty. 281, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships and Trouble, Frustration and Other Seemingly Negative Reactions, those things which trip up the attention and move your consciousness off the balance upon which you walk, balancing the various positive and negative catalyst which you receive, so that you may work with this catalyst and at your own pace continue the evolution of spirit. The evolution of third density physical vehicles is at its end. Further evolution is all spiritual. 38 All further evolution is spiritual, or spiritual, mental, or non-physical. That bears repetition. And the primary vehicle for working on this evolution is our relationships, with ourselves, with other selves and with deity. Some of us yearn for relationships. Having the company of others who meditate and who are not judgmental is very important. 39 I just wish I could find others or another soulmate who believes in some of the possibilities that I do and that could travel with me. 40 There are probably an equal number of wanderers who have been burned and really want to remain isolated and unhurt. I find I am best when alone. I travel and enjoy my traveling best when I am alone. I cannot handle partnerships or group interaction. Wally, I can handle it fine but it is simply undesirable for me. I don't have any best friend, never had, and do not particularly want to have children, I'm female. 41 These days I choose to be alone and without a relationship, companion, just because I know what I want and need and I'd much rather remain solo than just be with someone for the sake of being with someone. I have had 2 4-year relationships. Being 29, this is really the first time I've been flying solo, and now I just know I will find a companion, but it'll have to be someone I can relate to and talk to and that understands all this stuff. The thoughts that there are others out there that feel and know similarly to me give me nothing left to do but smile, smile, smile! Exclamation mark. 42 Wanderers are very sensitive people. They often tend to keep themselves protected from what they feel are inharmonious vibrations. It is my feeling, however, that we as awakened spiritual beings do well to toughen ourselves up to the point that we can do the work that we came here to accomplish. 282, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships and part of that work is done through honest and heartfelt work, in all humility, on the relationships that we are privileged to be a part of. I think of a letter I got today from Pharaoh. He went through a bad spot of depression and anxiety this last year and wrote me a pretty stiff email. Naturally, my first impulse was to delete and ignore his words. That's so easy to do. I followed my second impulse, which was to hunker down with the post and find a way to respond to it that was honest, forthright in what I had to say, and as accurate and kind as possible. Pharaoh responded magnificently to my rather tart but thoughtful missive, and months later, today, he thanked me again. He had lost one good friend during that period, he said, and was glad he had not damaged our relationship as well. I thought about how close I had come to combing his lint out of my hair, and thanked heaven for hanging in there with him. As seekers, we need to take the time and effort to explore every path before giving up on a relationship. They are too valuable to waste on temper and laziness. However we presently feel about relationships, the winding lanes of our lives will bring us together, and we will feel that a true iron to each other that heralds a chance for learning and service. It takes tremendous energy to stay apart from the people we intended before incarnation to have in our lives. I feel it is far better to cooperate with these attractions to friends, teachers, students, mates, lovers and passers-by who have much to share with us, and who are giving us the opportunity to work on sometimes subtle balances that we may have been involved with dealing with for not only this lifetime, but other lifetimes as well. Often, our most central relationships have followed us through more than one incarnation. Many difficult relationships are the results of previous unfinished beginnings, and the difficulty of the relationship is much like the difficulty of a person that receives that which seems to be fresh from the grocery but which when taken home, though sweet and fresh to every physical sense, yet seems still somehow aging and putrefying. There is something ancient, something one cannot put one's finger upon, something which smacks sometimes of déjà vu. This is that with which you deal lovingly, compassionately, and may we say, dispassionately within this life experience in order to finish that which has been begun, that all may be balanced with that particular relationship, or in regard to that particular point, that the entity has been attempting to learn and has yet not completely gotten, shall we say, under the belt. 43 I love this arching vision of the increasingly complex spiritual family we gather about ourselves as we interact with people throughout many incarna. 283, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships Shins, making our network of love and light ever larger, and hooking into more and more others' networks, until finally, we become a truly integrated and unified family of humankind. But in order to start to do this within this incarnation, we must first come into relationship with ourselves fully, and see that it is our own responsibility to be fulfilled and pleased with our lives, not the burden of some poof relationship. I recognize that I have played the never-ending searching game for the poof relationship. This is the endless quest for a soulmate. But it is a fruitless search, because we are looking for our poof mate outside of us. And that wish can never be fulfilled. It is an imaginary being. And we will continually be frustrated in that pursuit outside of ourselves. There is never the poof mate to fit our perceived ideas. All we will obtain in this endless hunt is unhappiness and frustration. No one can ever live up to our special guidelines. No one. Once we accept that other individuals come into our lives to bring us lessons needed, and to help us grow, then we will understand the riddle of life. There is a joyful beauty in living within a relationship. And that beauty is shared between all individuals. Yet, we must never forget that the other person is not here to fulfill our every wish and desire and to make us complete. That will never happen. We are the only ones who can accomplish this. Until we realize this, we will have nothing but hurt and frustration and possibly anger. Because it is an impossible and hopeless search. 44 Rather than putting expiations on a relationship, we need to be able to appreciate the relationship we have with each person, as it is, right now. This is sometimes the veriest challenge. I think about the tangled relationship that I had with Don Elkins with a special keenness of appreciation for all that this odd bond brought. There was confusion aplenty in this unmarried and celibate mating. Because Don chose celibacy, and because after due thought, I did not, I inaugurated a situation of careful agreements. We agreed to be mates, in that he and I had a primary relationship to which we were faithful. After he requested celibacy for himself and I had tried celibacy with him over a 2-year period, we further agreed that I could take a lover if I felt that was appropriate for me, and that I would tell Don when such a physical relationship began, and when it ended. We fully understood that such a relationship would never impinge upon the primacy of our mating, otherworldly and metaphysical though it was. Since this agreement was in place and had been so for 9 years when Jim McCarty's and my friendship began to deepen into physical attraction, I was able to make a solid physical commitment with Jim McCarty, in 1980, 284, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships, when we agreed to become lovers as well as friends and go teach/learners.